Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Excuse me, thank you for joining us this week. As always, we're going to talk through the rail volumes this week. And what we're seeing is that intermodal's really sort of stuck in neutral, and that the carload markets are very similar. They've been a little bit of help from the start of the grain harvest, but ultimately things are pretty well stuck in neutral across the board. Now, you may look at some of the graphs and may not understand or may think that they're telling a different picture. That's because there's a starkly different picture told by the four-week average charts, which we typically use in this podcast, and the week-to-week numbers that come out that are just straight weekly numbers that aren't four-week average to try and iron out holidays. One of the downfalls of four-week average numbers is that sometimes there's a holiday effect. In this particular week, we are getting rid of the Labor Day impact in the numbers. And so there is a sharp jump in a lot of these four-week average numbers that if you look week to week, the jump occurred coming out of the Labor Day holiday. And since then, things have been very, very steady. So you may see some strong improvement in some areas from a volume perspective. It's not as strong as it appears. It's like that sign on your car mirror. Objects in mirror are not as big as they appear. Well, gains in the four-week average number are not as good as they appear for those underlying commodity types. And service, I feel like we keep talking about service, and it is a huge, huge issue. It is an issue that continues to move across the supply chain, not just in rail, but in truck and at ports, and really everywhere else. Just this week, you have the White House getting involved, trying to encourage shippers and other supply chain stakeholders to take advantage of alternatives available to them in terms of longer gate hours, weekend gate hours, running it 24/7 to try and work off some of the backlogs that we're seeing in the supply chain. Christmas is coming. There are a lot of ships docked off the coast still. It is very possible that your Christmas gifts for your loved one are sitting in one of those containers off the coast. So it is in everybody's interest to try and get that backlog dealt with as quickly and efficiently as possible. Unfortunately, we don't see that changing anytime soon. Really, the things that are going to change it are time through about the second quarter of next year time, so definitely not any sort of quick fix or a significant downturn in the economy, which nobody wants to see and nobody is forecasting, but it would help alleviate some of the congestion that's out there. But it's not the way you want to do things. It's basically the same as losing weight via food poisoning. Yes, okay, you're thankful for the couple of pounds you lost, but you'd rather do it another way. That's sort of what an economic downturn or a recession would be for the supply chain crisis. It'd be nice to be back to normal, but that's certainly not the way anybody wants to get there. So let's jump into this week's numbers and let's talk about them. Intermodal loadings. Intermodal's just sort of following trend, just sort of holding steady, and holding steady about 20,000 carloads a week below its five-year average. So we're just sort of, as I said, stuck in neutral. And it doesn't matter whether you look at trailers or containers, it's the same story. Trailers, they jumped back out of the holiday, and now since then they've just sort of held their own, right? Just around 23,000, give or take, trailers a week, which is below the five-year average. It's a number that if you looked at it just in isolation, you would say there is no congestion issue. There's no problem here. And the same thing with containers. It's really just a steady state market, just hanging out right around 330,000, 340,000 carloads a week, not moving a whole lot. And again, you would look at this and say, Todd, we're down year over year. We're down from where we were earlier in the year. What's the problem? Why is there congestion? Why are there all these issues across the supply chain? And if you look just at one number, that would be correct. But if you look at the entire picture, you look at the port situation, the import situation, the economic situation, it's pretty clear that there's demand in the system that cannot be satisfied. And you're essentially making a supply side forecast at this point. You're not forecasting demand, because demand would tell you that we would go up and we would shatter those levels that we saw earlier this year, but there's no indication in the data we're going to do that. So there's a constraint. There's an artificial holding back of demand because folks can't get what they need through the supply chain pipeline as quickly or as efficiently as they need to. And the carload markets, very similar to the intermodal markets, depending on whether you look at the four-week average numbers or the week-to-week numbers, you get a very different story. Overall carload markets, the four-week average number shows some improvement, but that's a function of dropping the holiday weeks out of the four-week period. If you look over the last several weeks, they've run very, very flat, right about 335,000 carloads a week. That has not changed in the last week. You still continue to run 25,000 carloads below your five-year average, and you're just sort of hanging out there. You don't really have a catalyst to move in any other direction. We look at economically sensitive freight, which for those of you who don't listen all the time, who aren't FTR subscribers, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, we pull out the coal, we pull out the agriculture, we pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. And when we do that, what we see is that things are just sort of bopping around. Things are just sort of essentially holding very close to the overall pattern for carload traffic. In fact, they're a little bit weaker than the overall trend for carload traffic. And we're still about 10,000 carloads a week below our five-year average, which is where we've been for months. We're not making any sort of inroads, any sort of uptick that you would expect to see if you look just solely at demand signals in the economy, but we're just not there. So a lot of people try to boil the carload markets down to just coal. The economically sensitive category in that delta there says that it's not just a coal story, that there are other factors in play, that there are other things driving it, things like lumber, things like metals, things like automotive. And metals, I will tell you, has been a superstar over the last year. It started to show some cracks in the armor in the latest week. So it's something we're going to have to watch for additional downward pressure. But let's shift now and let's talk a little bit about coal. And if you think about the coal markets, we are at our post-pandemic highs, but we are still 15,000 carloads below our five-year average. So coal is a significant part of what's holding back the carload markets, but they are not the only part. Economically sensitive freight also has a significant role to play there, a significant part to play. Now, coal, we expect to run at these levels for some time, for the next couple of quarters, because of the higher natural gas prices that make coal competitive for electricity generation all across the country, in every region and from every basin. When that reverses, as we expect it to later next year, as natural gas prices recede during the spring injection season, we expect the coal market to go back to the secular decline path that it had been on prior to its most recent uptick. Grain volumes. Many of you know it struggled for much of the summer. Grain's the other major bulk commodity that moves in the carload space. It continues to run very, very warm over the last, call it, month. And that is the first sign we're seeing of the harvest coming off. And we are just starting that harvest. As we go forward in time, we would expect to see harvest volumes continue to support grain loadings higher above the five-year average for the next several months, through at least February, until you start to see the South American harvest come in, and Asian buyers start to get a little bit of a choice between whether they want to use U.S. volumes, whether they want to use South American volumes. We'll have to see how that all plays out when we get there, but we're a long way from February. Between now and then, we expect grain volumes to be strong and to continue to be strong as we go forward in time. Chemicals traffic. Chemicals has shown a strong recovery over the last 2 weeks. That's a good thing to see. There was some concern earlier in September when chemicals volumes dropped off a cliff, whether it was related to natural gas prices or Hurricane Ida impacts. given how quickly and how dramatically volumes have come back, we can now pretty well safely say that it's not a natural gas feedstock impact, that it was simply the disruptions and the temporary shut-ins that occurred as a result of Hurricane Ida moving through Louisiana, moving through an area of the country that has an awful lot of chemicals production. We are seeing those come back online, and we are seeing chemicals loadings respond appropriately. Petroleum products loadings continue to show weakness. They are not supporting coal volumes higher at this point. We are just sort of holding our own right about 19,000 carloads a week at the low end of the range between 19 and 20,000 carloads that we've held over really the last 5 to 6 months. We're not really moving out of that range. We're at the low end of that range, but we're still in that range. That's a little bit interesting. You would expect, given the crude price now over $80 a barrel, to see petroleum products volumes respond and increase. So far, that's not been the case. Stone, sand, and gravel. Really a status quo report this week for stone, sand, and gravel. Just continuing to do what it has done over the last several months. Continuing to run at weak levels, right about 26,000 or so carloads a week. 3,000 carloads below its five-year average. Just sort of hanging out there below its five-year average without a whole lot to say. Lumber and wood has gotten back to about 6,500 carloads a week. And it's just sort of holding at that level. We're not going back to the 7,000, 7,200 carload a week figures that we saw earlier in the year, but we're also not going back to the sixes or the fives that we saw earlier this year as well. We're just sort of holding out very close to our five-year average, right around 6,500 carloads a week. Pulp and paper, another major part of the forest products complex, really, again, also right around its five-year average. Holding down close to its five-year average, trending a little bit weaker over the last, call it month to 6 weeks, but ultimately right in line, very close to its five-year average, right around 8,000 carloads a week. Not a whole lot of pressure in one direction or the other. Automotive is another sector that is just sort of holding its own, and this story has been well documented. This is all about semiconductors and plastic resins and components that go into automotive production that just aren't available right now. The automakers can't get them. They've had to reduce production. You see sort of every other day, every other week, you hear about additional cutbacks at automotive facilities. Until that changes, the automotive loadings number is going to be challenged. It's going to be a number that is below its five-year average by 5,000-6,000 carloads a week. When will the parts shortage come around? That's anybody's guess. I think it's been a moving target ever since this started earlier this year, and the assessments of when it will be over have also been all over the place. You've got some folks saying 2024. You've got some folks saying 2022. Some folks splitting the difference and saying 2023. When this first started, you had folks saying the second half of this year. It looks like that does not have any viable chance of occurring at this point. And so, as we think about it, an automotive volume recovery is really a 2022 and probably a second half of 2022 phenomenon before we see this number meaningfully inflect higher. When it does, we expect it to really inflect higher. We expect it to go a very, very high. Dealer inventories are low. There's pent-up demand in the system. We would expect to see it respond, but until then, it's going to be a slog. It's going to be a very weak scenario for the next couple of quarters as we go forward through the winter. So to wrap up this week, some key takeaways. Grain is helping the overall carload markets, as is coal. Coal's getting some support that's limiting how far overall carload markets can decline. Intermodal's really just right at its five-year average number. There's not a whole lot to see when it comes to intermodal. It's just, despite all the congestion, despite everybody trying to do as much as they can to unstick the supply chain, we're just sort of holding near historical levels. We're not going up to where we were earlier this year. We're not going back to our five-year average levels. We're just stuck in neutral, as I said earlier. And it's important to remember, depending on what data set you're looking at this week, whether it's four-week numbers or week-to-week numbers, you get a little bit different perspective. You get a little bit different picture depending on what data you look at. The four-week numbers are a little bit inflated because of the fact that you're seeing the Labor Day weeks fall out this week. And so you're getting a little bit of a higher number, a little bit more of more growth in those numbers than would be implied if you look at the straight week-to-week numbers. So that's something to keep in mind, something to definitely keep an eye on as you think about and hear different news stories about volumes and what they're doing over the next week to 10 days. That is in effect. That is important to note as we go forward here. And with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us this week. I want to thank everybody for taking time out and listening to this update on where the rail markets stand this week. As always, if you have questions about what you're hearing in this podcast, what you're seeing in the reports, what you're seeing in your business in the marketplace, feel free to reach out. We're always happy to talk about the industry, talk about the markets, talk about what folks are hearing, what we're hearing in the marketplace, and get a better understanding for everybody of what's going on out there. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us, and have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.